Shall we open with prayer? Holy and merciful Fathers, we draw before your throne this evening, saying thank you for another day you have given to us, dear Father. A day that we can come together and open up your word. And we pray that our hearts and minds might be receptive to what you have to say, Father. And we ask your blessing upon this church. And we ask your blessing upon the people that are not here and wherever they are. Keep them under the shadow of thy wing. Father, bless this time now together. In your precious Son's name, amen. To get started, I got to ask everyone a couple of questions. It probably saved a little bit of time to make sure we're all on the same accord, same foundation, same thinking. Everybody here, just tell me if I'm right or wrong, everybody here believes that God's holy word is the infallible word of God. I think we all agree on that, don't we? I believe, and I hope you do, that the writers of this Bible were inspired by God. I believe that God's word was written a couple thousand years ago, but it's prevalent today. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever, in my opinion. Now, I hope everybody, if I keep agreeing, we're going to get done a lot quicker, so just keep agreeing, okay? I have never yet found in my Bible, or any Bible, maybe you have, but I have not, in the footnotes, the study notes, or anything, that says that anything in this book is void in the 21st century in the United States. So apparently, this applies to everybody all the time. Okay, very good. Good night. I saw a bumper sticker a couple months ago, and little things bugged the fire out of me. This bumper sticker bugs the fire out of me. It said, pray that God will bless America again. I got so furious with that. I thought, number one, when did God stop blessing us? Number two, what have we done to receive his blessing? Nothing. So why are we to continue asking God to bless us? And that's what started this whole thing tonight. We know that everything written in the Bible, if it's printed once, it's very important. Printed twice, it's very important. If it's written any more than that, we got to keep our eyes and minds open to it. The Ten Commandments is written two different places. Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, we both know that. All through Scriptures, it refers back to the Ten Commandments. Why were the Ten Commandments implemented? That's exactly right. To set guidelines for men. What is this? This is a modern day GPS for us. It guides us through life. A lot of times we'll run into a bump in life and we're not going to like it. A lot of times we read God's word and we don't like it. But it's God's word. 1 Samuel, it talks about obedience is better than sacrifice. Today's man, today's person, would rather serve than obedience. Why? Because they can do these things and they don't have to follow under God's strict rules. That just doesn't, I don't feel comfortable with it. And that's where we come into an area being gray. Being an old man like I am, I don't believe in compromise, as Sharon. It's black and white, that's it. There's no other color. God said it's my way or the world's way. You're going to stay here or you're going to go here. It's up to you. You can't eat off from both tables. Flat, simple. But we, in today's world, want to take just a little bit off from this table over here and hurry back over here. What we're going to do is we're going to start in Exodus 20. And I want to do some comparisons from what happened back in Israel to the time of today. We so often, and on Wednesday nights, a pastor doing, to me, a phenomenal study on the judges. Unpopular judges. And who are these unpopular judges? Judges that Israel needed at that time. None of them really won any awards for being the judge or the president. But they had to do the things they had to do according to God's holy word. What is one of the first things that the Israelites had to do when they went into Israel. Why? Yes, but why? What was in there? Heathens were in there, worshiping other gods, following every way of the world, eating off the wrong table. God knew his people were going to be tempted. So he made it perfectly clear, when you go into that land, you are to annihilate them. Oh, it's murder. God realized that. But what is he doing? He's taking as much sin out of there for his people can live their lives as best as possible. What have we done? We let sin keep coming in, don't we? It's so easy to look back at, well, that was in biblical times. But we're going to look today at what's happening today to see how that affects us, each and every one of us, and how we become so complacent with it that we leave our eyes shut to it. We're so worried about hurting somebody's feelings than to do what God's will is. And we're going to start off in Exodus 20, and we all know most everything in here, but we're going to just touch on a couple of things. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Oh, good. I was never in Egypt. Yes, I was. I don't have to worry about that. But what we miss here, what did God do? He took his chosen people out of a life of slavery, out of a life of sin, out of a life worshiping pagan gods, and removed them. What has he done to us? He has taken us out of a life of sin, and hopefully we are going to follow him. So when it says, that doesn't have nothing to do, it has everything to do with you. And why is God saying that? He wants us to understand and realize he is sovereign, he's in charge, and we are not. His will, not mine. So often we want to have our will and not his. So often we want to serve, but not obey. You shall have no other gods before me. Okay. What is an idol before God? Anything that takes the place of God. Well, that's back there, yeah. What about today? What in our lives take the place of him? Just about 90% of everything. Computers, telephones, football, basketball, sports, hunting, keep right on going down the list. It all jumps in place of God. What has God become? What has church become? A place of convenience and no commitment. Hurry up, Pastor, get done so I can get on with my day. Hurry on. I don't have to go Wednesday night. I'm too busy. Oh, honey, I can't go to church. It's going to rain. Yeah. You want to go to the mall? Oh, yeah, it's not raining that hard. In all truthfulness, that is exactly our lifestyle of today. And what did God tell the Israelites? Remove these people. Remove all these gods. If you have to, annihilate them. Kill them. Men, women, children, animals. Wipe it out. Now the question, what are we doing to stop it? Do you know that Islam is the fastest growing religion in the United States? That within 10 years, the Islam people are going to overtake Christians. 10 years. We talk about holy jihad. What is holy jihad? Their holy war. That doesn't mean going with weapons. Their philosophy is to overpopulate the world. Therefore, they're going to be in charge of the world without doing anything. I have a very good friend that was born in Iraq. He was born in Islam. He said their philosophy was that every parent were going to have 11 children. United States people have 1.5. So within a matter of 100 years, they have so overpopulated us instantaneously. What have we done as United States to keep that sin from coming in? Nothing. We welcome them, don't we? We come on in. Oh, yeah, come on in. Not thinking our Constitution says We have a freedom of religion, but it was founded under one God. And when we have to take our only God and throw it aside to accept somebody else, we're responsible for it. Do you know that the study of witches have more members than the Presbyterian Church does? Now you think about that. Studying witches, following the witches, satanic, has more than the Presbyterian Church does. Isn't that just frightening? And what do we do? Seriously, what do we do? Oh, you know, it's kind of liberal. Just kind of let it go. But what's going to happen to our children? Not to us as adults, but to our little children, our grandchildren. They are going to be stuck right in the middle of it. And what are they going to have to follow? Witches? Islam? Buddhists? Think about that. What have we done? We just kind of sit back, don't we? Come on, world. Now we wonder why God says, wipe them out. He knew his people didn't have the strength, the backbone. He knows we don't have it. And he's waiting for us to get on our knees and go before him and ask for help. Not to say we can do it ourselves. You shall not make for yourself an idol or likeness of what is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the waters under the earth. You shall not serve them, worship them, for I am the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Okay. Close your eyes and tell me what Jesus looks like. We sure see enough pictures of him, don't we? You know what always... Living in Israel like we did, knowing the Arabic people, seeing the picture of Jesus with brown hair, I have never seen an Arabic person with brown hair. Just to put it simply put. See this? Everybody see it? From now on, that's what Jesus is going to be. Yeah, this is Jesus. Why can't it be Jesus? Everybody thinks the other one has long hair. Who told you that? Who said it like that? There is not one description in all the Bible of what Jesus Christ looked like. Except, we're going to go down to Isaiah 53. Everybody knows it probably. Verse 2 of Isaiah 53. For he, with a capital H, meaning Jesus, grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. In today's world, we refer to somebody like that as a nerd. He wasn't a jock. What does it say in the Bible about Saul, the first king? Stood a head taller. What does it say about David? A manly man, strength, agility to go on. What does it say about Goliath? 9'6". What does it say about our Lord and Savior? Nothing. So how can we put a face, a picture of Jesus Christ? It says here, you shall not make any form of Jesus Christ. How many churches have Jesus Christ big pictures? Catholic have his statue. Mary, statue. Now this is going to touch some points. How about nativity scenes? We see baby Jesus laying in there. Oh, it says right here, you should not do that. But that's a nativity scene. Oh, really? How do you know what Mary looks like? Never told us in the Bible, so why can you do an image? Jesus Christ was placed on this earth for one reason, to save us. His physical stature was such that he was a common-looking man that nobody would run up to him. Oh, come and protect me. He was an average-looking person. Why? Because of humbleness. You would never pick him on your team. No. We must be extremely careful on that verse of the Bible. I'm making images of him. What's going to happen when we walk into his most holy presence and we don't see this brown-haired man with a beard? Oh, I don't know who you are. I'm going to leave. Seriously. We have built our minds so much on today's garbage of that who our Savior is. Why can't we just accept Him for who He is and worship and praise Him? Why do we have to put a physical image on Him? Because it's a sin against God. He said it. We didn't. Oh, it doesn't even say on the bottom here. Void in 2021. No, nothing here. It must be valid today that we're not supposed to do it, don't you think? You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. What's the biggest famous words on text? OMG. Oh my God. That is blaspheming to him. Blaspheming is any time you take Christ's name in an empty feeling, an empty status. Now we've got so far away from, oh my God, it's now gosh. Oh my gosh. The only reason you're saying that is because you don't want to offend some Baptist person next to you that don't believe you should say that. But what are you saying? The same thing. How many different adjectives have we come up for holy besides holy rollers? We use every slain word we can next to holy. Think about this. He is the only holy person. These people that can walk around and, excuse my friend, say, holy crap. Think of that. You're taking that and comparing to him because you want to be someone in time. God said, He is not going to go without being punished. You walk before the throne, and we've got a lot of things we've got to talk to the Lord about. Cal, did you not say that in such and such a time? Oh, Lord, but. No, there's no buts up there. No. Mm-mm. It's yes or no. Yes, I did. Why? What are you going to say? I want to impress my neighbor. Are you going to stand before your neighbor in heaven? Or are you going to stand before the most holy Lord? Then you better get your priorities straight right now. Who are you going to follow? That table or that table? It's up to you. You can't have both. We went to Furs yesterday. And I'm glad the Lord didn't have a table there. Because I sure ate up off of all the other tables. And I was thinking of that. If the Lord had a table there, of water and bread, of communion. How many people would have gone and taken only that? No, we just gobbled, didn't we? What have we done? Lowered ourselves further down. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is Sabbath of the Lord God in it, and you shall not do any work. Your son, daughter, male, female, everyone there. Question is, if the Lord created the world in 6 days, He took a day of rest. What did He say for that day? A time to worship and be refurnished. A time to gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ and worship Him. We have become so complacent with our worship that it's no longer fulfilling. I remember many years ago, I could not wait for Sunday because it was a time to refresh, and I built up. And I could hardly wait till Wednesday, because what did it do? It built me up enough to get me till the weekend. Now, it is nothing more than convenience. There's a little saying I heard, and I'm going to bring it up here, because we're all here on Wednesday night. It used to be a saying. You can always tell how many people love the church by who shows up Sunday morning. You can always see who liked the pastor who shows up Sunday night. You can always see who loves the Lord who shows up on Wednesday night. Is it easy to break away? Not all the time. A lot of times there's other things that's going to fall into place and we cannot do it. But it should be a time that we take our outside world and mold it around our Lord. It's not a time to come and worship God Sunday morning or hurry home and carry on like it's any other day. If we do that, we lose sight of who we're there to worship. Can you only imagine if you're invited to the White House to have dinner with the president? And you would walk in to see the president with old clothes on and walk in 10 minutes late? That's a president who only has 4 years in office. He's there forever. And we cannot come before his most holy throne with reverence. How low have we gotten? Honor your father and your mother that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Not only does it mean honor your father and mother, it means people that have authority over you. We are to honor them. We are to obey them as long as in accordance to God's holy word. If it's not, don't. Period. The pastor talked quite a long time ago about it. He ordained these people to be in charge of us. He put all these different judges into place. Why? He ordained them. They weren't all popular. They were doing his work at that time. And by us allowing non-Christian people to maintain that office, you are going to see the morality and the ethics of this country drop. And we have seen it. And sometimes it's almost falling faster than we can stop. Well, they voted him in. That's correct. Did you take your stand against it? I didn't even vote. Why did the Lord allow that person to be president? Maybe to bring us back to our knees. Look what happened after 9/11. 3 months after 9/11, more people attended church in the United States than any other time. And then what happened? We became complacent. It's not going to happen again. And we don't go back to church. He's sitting on the holy throne, wanting us to come before. Any of us that have children understand how important it is to have the children have respect for us, to honor us, and how hurtful and painful it is when they don't. Sharon and I had a miserable Christmas day yesterday because of a couple of our children who wouldn't even acknowledge us, don't even care about mom and dad. How painful, hurtful. But brothers and sisters, what does he do when we turn our back on him to follow this world? How painful and hurtful that is to him. Oh, I don't want you to be in fellowship with me. Nothing more. Just obey me. No, we don't have time. You shall not murder. Oh, good. Am I glad he said that, because I never did that. Oh, there's one I got scot-free on, isn't it? Is it? Do you know, brothers and sisters, that this country, God-fearing country of United States of America, has butchered, killed 45 million babies? You look in the history, and what happens? Germany, what they do, the Jews annihilated between 6 and 7 million. And it hit the history books. We're a God-fearing country, and we have done 45 million. Well, I didn't have nothing to do. Yes, you did if you voted for anybody that supports it. Do you know every single day throughout the world, there's 125,000 abortions every day? And now you look at it from a liberal point of view, and this is not a politics speech. Who supports abortions? The liberal people that want to give everything away. Did you ever think that if it was against the law for abortion, there would be 45 million more people on earth paying taxes so these stupid people could give that money away? Oh no. Just push them aside. Dr. Kevorkian, 20 years ago, he wanted to be the first doctor that suicide, I'll help you commit suicide. If you're so sick, here, I'll help you through. I'll let you get it done with. When did he not have the decision? When did he say, Cal Westhoff, you're going to live for this long? No, I'm not. I'm going to leave. No, you have no control over it. Doctors say, I save that person. You had nothing to do with saving that person's life. is in God's divine plan that he's still alive. You had nothing to do with it. Don't think you did. Why did the Israelites were instructed to kill these people and annihilate that? To get rid of sin. And what have we done? Accepted sin. Not only accept it, we embrace it. What consequences do we have for sin today? Zero. None. I watched a documentary last night on television. Oh, it's a real near-jerker, Ron. This poor man spent 20 years in prison for a murder he didn't do. 20 years of his life gone. At the very end, he was arrested and charged with 31 felonies in his life, and he never spent a day in prison. If he was punished the first time, he wouldn't have murdered anybody the second time. What does the Bible say when you find a murderer among you? An eye for an eye, doesn't it? What did we do? Oh, 10 years? But murder is too tough. We're going to downgrade it. It's not taking a life anymore. You got murder one, murder two, manslaughter. Vehicular manslaughter. You got negligent homicide. You got all these. Why? To compromise God's holy word so man could be in charge to say, you know, your life won't have to be taken. You shall not commit adultery. What goes along with committing adultery? We all know, don't we? Fornication, incest, pornography. All these items are immoral before God. Homosexuality. Think. And what is that? That doesn't even raise anybody's eyebrows anymore. 59% of the marriages today are going to end in divorce. 59. The second time around, the second marriage, it's much higher. Part of committing adultery is the activity of sin with sex. Here's an astonishing figure. Every single year in the United States, there is 99,300 rapes. And what have we done about that? Nothing. The judges, the courts, let them go. So what's going to happen? Our children and grandchildren are going to be the victims of it, of an immoral society that we let go. You shall not steal. Well, good for that one too. Question. Did you ever take a cigarette break from your boss without permission? You stole. Did you ever leave work early without punching out? You stole. Did you ever have a check come back and bounce? You stole. Simple word of thou shalt not steal means that. You know what the Bible says about stealing? If you steal, you must pay back the value of that plus five. So if you took $100, you must pay back to your victim $500. Don't you think that would bring a little shortness to stealing? I'm going to take a six pack of Cokes, and you have to return that plus value of five more, because there's consequences for what you're stealing. There's consequences, brothers and sisters, for us. I challenge each one of you sometime in the next week, take the book of Deuteronomy. You don't have to read the whole book. There are certain chapters of what God cursed the people of Israel. If you disobey any of these curses are going to be brought upon you. And you look and study and look at each one of them, and you're going to say, man, I'm glad it's not today. Oh, yes, it is going to be today. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Oh, that fun little word of gossip. Huh? How many we can get in the corner and talk about them? How many people can we hurt so bad to talk about them and not realizing if they talked about us, it'd even be a juicier story? The Bible called it busybodies. People that spent their time gossiping about people. My friend from Iraq that I mentioned earlier, in Iraq, a few years ago, when he was still living there, he came through a large parking lot to his store. He heard a big commotion. He looked over there, and there's a whole group of men. They could see Holden fighting somebody on the ground. He walked over there. That group of men took a fellow citizen, pinned him down on the ground. One man took a pliers and pulled his tongue out, and the other took scissors and cut his tongue off. That happens today. Why? Because that man was gossiping. If it's not a big thing, then why did the Lord put it here? Do you know how fast that would stop gossiping? I think in today's churches, you'd walk around with everybody without a tongue in their mouth. The Lord said, if you're guilty of one of these, you're guilty of all. You just don't have to pick one or the other. You're going to be guilty of all of them. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You should not. No, not should not. You shall not lie. Do you know in Israel, it's still mandatory that if any charge is brought, you have to go with at least two witnesses. So one can't lie. What do? Basically, go by hearsay. Whatever you say pretty well goes. Look at the politicians that go through all this garbage. This last judge that was selected. Somebody came up with a couple rumors or whatever they were, happened 30 years ago, and everybody craved onto it like it was the truth. Hear what happened to CNN this past week? This is really exciting to me. They nominated a journalist for the Journalist Award, Year Award, in 2014. Last week, he admitted that more than half of his stories were made up and false. They're flat-out lies. So what do? They took his award away. Oh, think of all those people he has hurt. And what took my award away? That's so brutal, don't you think? You shall not covet your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, male servant, maid servant, anything that is your neighbor. And we know that. How many times do we try to keep up with the Joneses? How many times do we try to outdo our neighbor? They got a new car. Yeah, I got a new one too, but my computer's better than yours. And what is it? Sinning against. He gave you everything you needed. Nothing you wanted. Everything you need is handled. Why? Because He is our Father, and we are His children. And what do for our children? We take care of them, don't we? In closing, I'd like to read to you. This is found in Deuteronomy. This is the death penalty for sins to the Israelites. Premeditated murder. Oh, we get them a couple years probation. Kidnapping. Striking or cursing parents. Death. Magic or deviation. Whoa, whatever happened to me being a scorpion to look in the paper? That resulted in death. Obesity. Whew. I saw last night they're advertising a new program coming on. The 600-pound person. Those people always be so ashamed. Not only they got to use wide lens to film them, it should be a shame and embarrassment to let yourself go that far down. Because you are supposed to be a servant and in God's own image. Working at the mission, we had abused and women that were there. And they were talking about all the new tattoos they got. They were saying how cool this was and this. And I said, if Jesus came and visited you today, would you take him to get a tattoo? Why, of course not. I said, then why did you? Your body is supposed to be in His image. And they never looked at it that way. Sacrificing to false gods. Who worships false gods? Look at our churches today. Look at all the false teachers that are present every single Sunday that are leading everybody in their church straight to hell. And what do about it? We glorify them, put them on TV, and let them have their own program. Profaning the Sabbath day, offering human sacrifices, adultery, incest, homosexuality, blasphemy, false prophets, rebellion, fornication, and rape. That's the Israelites, to keep them straight. Where are we? It's not to be sound that we're hopeless. No, but it's to take us off the throne and put Him back on the throne. Our future is going to depend on Him and our obedience to Him. It doesn't matter how many good works you do, it means nothing. It matters, facts, if you are going to believe this Bible. And the beginning of the session, everybody was in agreement that this is true and without error. And it was prevalent yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So we have a responsibility, don't we? Let's not worry about the man across the street. Let's worry about this one. We got enough things we have to take care of ourselves. But you know what's so great about it all? His mercy and His grace is enough to forgive every bit of it. Every one of our shortcomings, our sins, and every time we mess up and become a real jerk, He will forgive. Thank you, Lord. Because this world don't hold consequences for anybody. He will. We like to forgive. He is not going to forgive every time. First time He came as a lamb, next time He comes as a lion. And whether it's politically correct or not, He is going to hold people's judgment. Let's just make sure we're standing right with the Lord. Shall we pray? Holy Father in heaven, what an awesome God You are. We thank You for this time that we can look at Your word and not have this burn so deep in our hearts, but to realize we have shortcomings. We are not perfect, only You are perfect. We are responsible to You and we must come before You with a humble and a contrite heart to seek You, to confess our sins. And You promised us You will forgive them. For that we say thank You. Bless us as we go our homeward way and for the rest of our activities, Father. And pray that we will have the intestinal fortitude and the strength to take the stand for You and not to compromise. In Your holy and precious Son's name we pray. Amen.